If you would, turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, we'll begin our reading in verse 3 in a little bit. I want to say thank you to all of you for allowing me to come and to be with you, and how much I have enjoyed getting to be with you again. I think this is my third time here, and I appreciate that very deeply. Being able to have fellowship today with everyone, being able to spend time with you has just been a real pleasure, and I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. I have one request before we go any further, and that is wherever I go, I ask people to remember me in their prayers. I have many heavy burdens and many things that really require a great deal of me, and I need strength. And prayer is the way that you get strengthened, to ask God to help you, to ask God to be with you during the difficult times. And so if you would be so kind, please remember me in your prayers. I would deeply appreciate that very much. Okay, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. And Peter writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. You who are protected by the power of God and through faith for salvation ready to be revealed at the last time." He says, "In this you greatly rejoice, even though for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in the praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you haven't seen Him, you love Him. And though you don't see Him now, but believe in Him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." A tremendous reading from the words of Peter given to him through the Holy Spirit. Every word of God is, of course, inspired. We can believe it because it does come from God. There are many times where it quotes a passage and it says, "God says," and other times it says, "whoever was the writer said it." But you know what? We can say in any passage, these are words from God. And they are the things that He wants us to know. When I think about heaven, it gets me excited. There are a lot of things about heaven I don't understand. And I don't guess I'll know until I get there. And I can only suppose it'll be grander than anything that I've ever seen before. It'll be more beautiful, it'll be more glorious than anything that we've ever experienced in this life. Every joy, every good thing, every pure pleasure, and every holy person will be in heaven. I love the last verse of Psalm 16. It says there, "In your presence," that is God's presence, "in your presence is fullness of joy, and in your right hand there are pleasures forever." Someone has said that the serious business of heaven is joy. And I think that may be true. The joy of salvation, the joy of God, the beauty of what He has done for us. And I think about heaven, and when I do, I think more about people than I do anything else. The people that I love, the Lord, the people I've read about in Scripture. And it'll be a time of great reunion that brings a lot of love and joy. Sometimes when we talk about going to heaven, there is a when. Sometimes we forget that. All of our lives we've lived and we've kind of looked forward to something else that would come along. When we're little, we look forward to going to school. Little children look forward to the time when they can walk, when they can talk, when they can do things. They look forward at times whenever they can be big, and you can look at any little taller and say to them, oh, you're a big boy or you're a big girl, and they think, oh, that's wonderful. And all the changes that will take place in their lives. They look forward to going to school, and then they look forward to getting out of school. They don't know whether, I don't know whether they're going to go to a job, or they're going to go to the military, or they're going to college, or what they'll do, but they look forward to that time when they can be on their own. A lot of times people look forward to the time when they find a spouse and can marry. They get married and they look forward to the time of the birth of a baby. And oh, that 9 months can seem like a long time. But when that child comes, the joy is there. And you see, there is a time when things do actually take place that are not just something that we're preoccupied waiting for. The second coming of Jesus is not just a hope. It will happen one day. It's reality. Being able to be in heaven is a reality one day. Now, whether that short or time is long, Jesus is going to come and He's going to resurrect us. Heaven is for the resurrected. And in John 5 and verse 28 and 9, you remember the Lord Jesus said, "Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear His voice and come forth. Those who have done good deeds to a resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to a resurrection of judgment." When you think about that idea, there is a time coming. There is an hour in which we will be raised from the dead, and an hour in which we will be judged and be with God. And oh, what a wonderful thing it is to be a Christian. Now, I've emphasized since Sunday that there is a big difference between being right with God and not being right with God. And let me tell you something. When you start talking about heaven and the other place, that's a big, big difference. And whenever Jesus comes again, we're going to be raised. And it's going to be a serious matter. And I want everyone to have that hope of eternal life, to have that place that's imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven, and it's got your name on it. Yes, your name's on it. In 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13, Paul writes, "But we don't want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, that is, those who have died, that you may not grieve as do the rest who have no hope." We have hope because we have Christ. I tell you, there's a big difference between having hope and not having hope, of being able to have confidence that you can be with God and not having confidence. He says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not precede those who have fallen asleep," that is, those who have died. "For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." And we can be comforted, because when Jesus comes back, He's coming back for us. Did you hear that? You know, He says, "If I go, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." That's the promise of Jesus. And when He's coming to take us home. And I liked that. I liked that promise. You know, sometimes we think about the resurrection, the day of judgment, going to heaven from our standpoint. Have you ever thought about it from God's standpoint? Now let's go back to that passage. We talked about it, I think, just last night. John 14. "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places." I guess it was Monday night. "And if it were not so," He says, "but I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Oh, I think about that. When I was young, I remember going on in the holidays to my folks' house and to my wife's folks' house. Oh, both of us had big families, came from big families with six kids and lots of grandkids, and it was a big, grand thing to be with the whole family during the holidays. Oh, how much I enjoyed that. But you know what? Now that I'm the grandpa, all my grandkids call me Papa. It's a little different because they come to our house. And when that 21 people come and settle at our home for 3 days, I can't imagine how many meals are cooked. I can't imagine all the stuff that goes on and the different things, the customs that we have, and as we share that time together and how important it is to us. Have you ever thought about the Father? Your Father in heaven has heard every prayer you've ever prayed. Your Father in heaven was there when you were born, when you cut your first tooth, when you said your first word, when you took your first step. He was with you when you had your first day of school. He's walked with you through the good times, the hard times, when you were well and when you were sick. And there isn't anything that has ever happened in your life that your Heavenly Father doesn't know about it. And He loves you. You're His child if you are a faithful Christian. You wear His name in some ways. And He wants you home. Why? Because you belong to Him. I like that choice, Justin. I am mine no more. Because we don't belong to ourselves. We belong to Him. We've always belonged to Him. And when you begin to think about it, you think about how He has prepared a place for us. He has that great place, dwelling place, King James mansion that He's prepared just for us. And it's got our name on it. He knows who you are. He knows your name. You're not a number to Him. Oh, we all have Social Security numbers. Even little ones have to have a Social Security number. But we're not a number to God anymore. We're His children, and He cares for us. And it means something to Him for us to belong to Him. And when God brings His children home, don't you know how happy He's going to be and how excited He is to be there with you, to have you in His presence, and to see that you'd been faithful all of your life? To me, that's amazing. There is a passage in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 that I think is just a sentence or two that describe maybe heaven better than anything that I can find anywhere else. In those first three verses, it talks about the children of the world and how they were children of wrath. But in verse 4 of Ephesians 2, he uses the word but. And sometimes the most beautiful sentences of the Bible follow the word but. And so he says, but God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He has loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, our trespasses, because of that love, He made us alive together with Christ. And then he says, for the first time, by grace you've been saved. He says it again in verse 8. This is verse 5. But verse 6 says, and He raised us up together, and made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, I want you to think about that. You're going to be able to sit together with Christ one day in heaven. And it'll be in the heavenly places. We'll sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, here's verse 7, and this is the real key passage. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. In heaven, God's not just going to be kind to us. He's going to show the exceeding riches of His grace. And when He does it, He's going to do it in kindness. Now, I don't know all that that means. I just know what He has said. But I can imagine that through all eternity, there's going to be that place that's going to be full of joy every day. And every day there will be wonderful things that we've never imagined and can't imagine that's going to be brought to us and every time with kindness. That place He has built for us with our name on it is going to be something special and wonderful and great. Yeah, God's going to welcome His children home in the most wonderful, wonderful way. You know, sometimes people get excited about miracles, and we should, because God did them. Jesus said in Luke chapter 10 and verse 18 to His disciples, those 70 that were coming back, and they had done and seen marvelous things. And He said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you." No, no, no. "But rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." That's an amazing, amazing thing. When I think about heaven, I think about the we part of it. Heaven is that place where the redeemed souls go. And it's filled with people who love God and filled with God. And I think that's a wonderful thing. It was the year 1917 or 1918, I really don't know which. And Willie and Becky brought their four children, Alice and Elmer and Oliver and Glenn, into town. They were looking for a place to live. They had to leave the farm. You see, Willie was sick. He had been out clearing some land where they would build a lake. And a tree fell on his leg and it left a gash in it. And that gash didn't heal. So he went to the doctor and he said, "What's wrong?" And he looked at him and he examined him. And he said, "Willie, it's not the leg that you need to be concerned about." He said, "Willie, you have consumption." Well, now that's a name for a disease that we don't use anymore. But over 100 years ago, to be told that you have consumption meant you had tuberculosis. That was before the days of penicillin and antibiotics, and it was a death sentence to have consumption. There was no cure. So Willie and brought his family into town where they could find some place, and they looked for a place to live. And they found a place. Believe it or not, it was up on the third floor of a business, a bank business, and other things that were there. There was also a school up there. And they could live on that third floor if they kept the bank in that area clean. They were the janitor for the building. And of course, they'd have a place to live and they would have a small stipend. But it wasn't much to feed a growing family. You see, Alice would have been around 16, and Elmer about 14, and Oliver 12, and little Glenn about 8 or 9. And you feed a family of 6 on a janitor's salary would have been real tough in those days. But he was sick. He didn't have what he needed. And the family was having a very, very tough time. Well, the boys would help out all they could, and the whole family pitched in to keep that building clean because that was their life, their livelihood. On the bottom of that bank building, there was a sweet young lady who was a teller whose name was Lillian Flincham. She was a member of the Lord's Church, and each day the boys would come in to take out the trash and sweep the floors and wash the windows and do everything that they were asked to do in order to keep the building clean. And she took a shine to the boys as she watched them day in and day out. She was only about 20 years old. And out of her own pocket, more than once, she fed that whole family because they didn't have near enough food to eat, and help them in every way that she could. One day she was up and she was talking to Willie, and she said to Willie, "Willie, would you like a preacher to come and talk to you?" And Willie said, well, yeah. And a brother, J.F. Taylor, came and talked to Willie. And you know what? It wasn't long until he taught him and the two boys and baptized them into Christ. Later on, it would be Becky and Alice that would be baptized. And when Glenn got old enough, she was baptized too. There were six people who were taught by this brother Taylor, but it was because of the kindness and the sweetness of a young lady who saw a need and filled that need. Let me tell you something. You don't have to be a scholar in the Bible to bring somebody to Christ, but you do have to have a heart of love. And it doesn't make any difference who you are. If you have that heart of love, you can make a difference in somebody's life. When I get to heaven, I want to see the majesty of God. I want to see Him in all of His glory and grandeur and beauty. I want to see that emeralds see there. I want to see the streets of gold. I want to see the gates of pearl. I want to see all of the things that make heaven, heaven. I want to see that tree of life. And I want to see the river that runs through it. I want to see heaven. And I want to see God, my Father, who did hear every prayer I prayed and forgave me. When I get to heaven, if I have enough courage, I want to draw close enough to get near my Lord Jesus Christ and just say to Him, thank You. Thank You for loving me. Thank You for caring for me. Thank You for dying and dying for my sins. Thank You. When I get to heaven, I want to know everything about the Holy Spirit. I want to see the myriads of angels. I want to see all of the glory of the things that are there. I want to see those people I've read about in the Bible, the Old Testament and the New. I'd love to see Noah and Enoch. I'd love to see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. I'd love to see Joseph. I'd like to have a talk with him. I'd love to see Moses and Joshua. Joshua is one of my heroes. I'd love to see David. And I'd love to meet the prophets. Oh, so many people that have meant so much to me. I'd love to hear stories from Jeremiah, who preached for so long and had such hard times. I'd like to meet the apostles, each of them, and talk to them. I'd like to meet Stephen. And I'd like to meet the Phillips that I was named after. When I get to heaven, I'd like to meet all of the people that were so important that their names would be recorded in the Bible. I want to meet them. When I get to heaven, Kevin, I want to see my teachers. Most of the men that I went to school with now are there. I want to see them and talk to them again. When I get to heaven, there are so many preachers that I have known and loved that I'd like to be with again. When I get to heaven, I want to see Willie for the very first time. He died on September the 8th, 1918. And I'd like to meet Alice, who died before I was born. I'd like to see Becky again and Elmer again and Glenn again. And when I get to heaven, I'd love to sit down and have a long talk with that little boy who was only about 12 when his daddy died, named Oliver, but better named Harley, who married Yulita in 1941, my mama and daddy. When I get to heaven, I want to meet Brother J.F. Taylor, who was the first one to baptize people in my family into Christ over 100 years ago. And when I get to heaven, I want to go and find that sweet lady who knew me in my youth, but I did not know what she had done for my family. Lillian Flincham. And tell her, thank you. Thank you for loving my family enough to feed them. Thank you for loving them enough to tell them about Jesus. Thank you for showing them the way and opening the door for them to become members of the body of Christ. You see, that's what heaven is really all about. It's somebody loving somebody enough to bring them there, to help them to be there. It's a place of love and reunion. It's a place of joy and all of the great things where people can be together. Oh, I'm looking forward to that time when I can be with my Lord Jesus and be with the people who are redeemed, the people that have loved me through the years and that I have loved. Oh, there are so many people through the years that I have been there. And more than a few times, Kevin, I was the last person to ever see them in the casket before it was closed. And I want to see them again one day to be there. Oh, we'll be surprised, I think, about who is there, because God's grace is wondrous. Maybe we'll be surprised about who is not there, because many people have secret sins. But whoever is there, I want to love them. There's an intriguing passage in Revelation 22 and verse 2, which talks about the tree of life and how that it bears its fruit every month, the 12 kinds of fruit. But there's also the statement about the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. I don't really know what kind of healing that's talking about. I think maybe it's the healing of the heart and the soul more than anything else, where people could learn to love each other and could get along and could begin to see each other maybe differently than they do in this life, where there are so many divisions and so many problems. I'm glad that he's thought about having something that would heal people at that particular time. When I think about heaven, I think about it as a place that is wondrous in so many ways. It's be like a city, like a bride adorned for her husband, so beautiful. You remember John said, and I heard a loud voice. This is Revelation 21, verse about 3 or 4. I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them, and He'll be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And then He who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And He said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful, trustworthy. We'll be at home there. I think that's important. In fact, from the time that we leave this life, there's a sense in which we'll be at home. But our permanent home for eternity will be in heaven. But you know, for the Christian, there is an at-home experience even whenever we pass from this life. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6, 7, and 8, it says, so we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And we're confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Yeah, we'll be with Him. When we die, we're going to be present with the Lord. And not only that, it goes a little farther. In Philippians 1, verses 21 to 23, when Paul talks about himself, he says, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And he talks about, if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me. And yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell, he says. I don't know. For I'm hard pressed from both directions between the two, having a desire to depart, that is to die, and to be with Christ. For that is very much better. Now I know that most of you who are older have lost loved ones. And if your loved one is faithful to the Lord, they are with the Lord. We do not mourn for those who are with the Lord. We mourn for our own loss. And it's right to mourn for that loss. But you know what? When somebody is close to God, and they pass from this life, and they go to be with Christ, we can rejoice at what has happened with them, even though it breaks our heart to lose them ourselves. In my marriage, Jackie and I lived in about 7 or 8 houses through the years, living here and there. And each place we lived was very special to us. And we could call it home. And it had lots of love. Jackie and I speak of home, and sometimes we meet one place. And sometimes we meet another. Sometimes we meet our parents' house. But one day we expect to have a permanent home with the Lord in His Father's house. And we expect to live there forever. And I think that's what's important about heaven, is living with the Father forever. When I think of heaven, I think of it as a kind of like a tabernacle. It's called a tabernacle in chapter 21. And that kind of means that we're going to be with God. Sometimes it's called a city that has walls and God will be protecting us. Sometimes it's talked about as a garden. A paradise is a garden. Chapter 22. And it shows how God will prepare for us and provide for us all that we need during the time that we're there. And one of the things that we'll do while we're there is, I think we'll eat. We'll sit down at the table and eat. And that will be a good thing. Just as we have enjoyed the fellowship here in this life, we will enjoy fellowship in the life to come and sit down with Him at that time. If I miss a ball game of some game on TV, I haven't missed much. If I miss an important appointment, I'm disappointed. And maybe others are as well. And maybe I will even suffer a little loss, but you know life will go on. It will. But if I miss heaven, I've missed everything. I've missed every single thing. If I miss heaven, I lose it all. Everything I had ever hoped for, I will lose. Heaven is the most important thing, and that's why we need to keep our minds focused on what is above and not what's on earth. Because Jesus is coming again, and that's where our hope is. That's where our life is. That's where everything is. In Philippians 3 and verse 20 and 21, it says, "For our citizenship is in heaven." Oh, I know these are big times, and we're worried about this and worried about what's going to happen in this nation. But let me tell you what, my citizenship is still in heaven regardless of what happens in a couple of weeks. And it would be that way all the time. Oh, I'm concerned about the future just like you're concerned about the future. But my citizenship is still in heaven. I can trace my family back to before the Revolutionary War. And so can my wife. She can trace it way back into the early 1700s, even to the 1600s. My daddy was born in Oklahoma Territory before statehood. And his mama came with her family from Kentucky. And 3 of her older brothers were in the land rush of 1889. And I have deep, deep roots in the state of Oklahoma. But you know what? Those don't mean near my roots in heaven. One day this country will be gone. One day my state will be gone. But heaven will be forever. And if I miss heaven, I miss everything. That's where I belong. And I am truly mine no more. I belong to my God. First, last, always. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm eager to go to heaven. I still have much I want to do in this life, but I'm eager for the day to come when I do go to heaven, when the Lord calls me home. I'm eager for that time when I can meet Jesus. I'm eager for that time whenever I can see all of the things, the hopes, and the promises that have been made to me come to pass as reality. I'm looking toward that time when I can be with my Lord and be with my Father in heaven and be with brethren that I've known and loved through the years. And I hope that you are too. There are people that you love and you know that are there, and you can go and be with them. That's the promise that we have. And that's what makes heaven, in my judgment, so very sweet. I don't know about you, but I want to go there, and I don't want anything to keep me from going there. I don't want anything to put a roadblock and a stumbling block so that I don't get to go. I want to be with my Father in heaven and your Father, your Heavenly Father. I want to be with Him. I want to be with God. And folks, if you want to do that and you have that hunger to live with Him forever and ever and ever, don't let anything rob you of your salvation. If you're not a Christian, I beg you to become one. I beg you to have your sins washed away. And those sins are washed away when you put your faith and love in Christ Jesus, when you repent of your sins, when you confess His name, and when you're baptized. That's when you die with Christ, you're buried with Christ, and you're raised and united with Christ, planted with Him. Oh, that's a beautiful picture, to grow with Him. And He can live with you, and you can live with Him forever and ever. And it starts there. The faithful Christian is the one who has the blessing. Don't start out and then quit somewhere along the way. My heart has been broken over the last 4 or 5 years because so many faithful Christians quit on the Lord when the pandemic came. And many of them stopped going to church and they've never come back. Folks, we need one another. We need each other to keep our fires warm. And if you're a Christian, but you're not really committed like you should be, isn't it about time you made a turn in your life and put God first and not let anything get in the way between you and your salvation? If there is some reason why you need to respond tonight, don't you go out that door lost. Come to Christ. His arms are open wide. His love is greater than anything that we can understand. And He's ready to welcome you and embrace you if you'll come to Him and do it tonight while we stand and sing.